You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current serial is Let Sleeping Princes Lie, the third novella in the Castle Charming series. Part 10, Snakes in a Tower. So her name was El and his name was Zed. Together, they fought monsters. The same monsters, apparently, over and over. Zed was the more cheerful and helpful of the two, which might be because El had been in this tower for ages, and Zed was something like the 10th cursed prince she had trained to fight the monsters. They did not discuss what had happened to the others, but El was clearly not in a mood to explain everything about how this place worked all over again. That left Zed to make the explanations. "They can't die," he told Kai, as they ate a sustaining porridge of boiled peas, cooked over the small fireplace in the highest room in the Tower full of monsters. "At least, they can die. We chop 'em up good and sticky, but they come back to life. Doors and locks slow them down, mostly. But most of them are shape changers, and some of them are smart. We've pretty much burned this tower," he added to El. "Gonna have to find a new hideout for a while." "We haven't been to the East Tower for a while," said El. "Most of the rooms there are locked and clear." "Stairwell's not, though," said Zed, shuddering. "Snakes." "I have a plan for that," said El, looking determined. "Of course you do," said the younger warrior, rolling his eyes at her. "She always has a plan, which means me ending up with three different colours of monster ooze all over my face," he added to Kai. "This one's easy," said El. "We go in, top to bottom, slice all the snakes, shove me one of the free rooms before they have a chance to return to life. One clear tower." She nodded to them both. 6 hours. Don't spend all night swapping tragic origin stories." She lay across the inside of the door, like a heroic draft excluder, turning her backs on them both. "Don't you want some, mush?" asked Kai, looking at what was left of the pot Zed had cooked. El tossed her long blonde braid over her shoulder. "The sooner the two of you give up pointless habits like that, the better off we'll be." She was silent after that, her shoulders relaxing. Kai wasn't sure if she was faking sleep, but it looked genuine. She was hardly the type of person to relax otherwise. He glanced back at Zed and pulled a yikes face. "Pointless habits? Like eating?" "Yeah," said Zed, looking uneasy. "We don't really need to here, you know." "Are we," Kai swallowed, "dead?" "Nah, nothing like that. It's more, you know, Fairyland?" "Been there," Kai said. "Cool. Well, it's a bit like that. We're outside time. Don't need to eat or shit. Don't really need to be warm. The sky outside gets dark and light, but I don't think it has a regular schedule of day or night." Zed put the spoon back in the pot. "It's creepy. Elle's been here the longest, so it's like she's given up. Doesn't care about anything but hunting the monsters." "How long have you been here?" Kai asked. The other young man shrugged. "Not sure. A few months? Time doesn't exactly leave us clues, and I didn't think to count the sleeps, know what I mean?" "Yeah, I think so." Kai had never wanted to feel as helpless again as he did when he and the others were taken into Fairy. This felt worse, though, because it made no sense. "You're from one of the islands of Zix, aren't you?" he asked, hoping it wasn't racist to make that assumption. "Yep," said Zed, blowing on the embers of the fire. "My stepfather thinks I murdered his daughter, so he had me cursed by a witch. You?" "Spinning wheels." "Ugh," said Zed. "Spinning wheels are the worst. Lost a friend to spinning wheels once. It was thorns with me, big-ass thorns that hunted me down as I ran." He gave Kai a measuring look. "El said you mentioned charming before. That the kingdom you're from?" "That's right." "Hang on, I know this one. I had to memorize all the family trees when my mother married into a royal house. Are you Cyrus or Chase?" Kai coughed on the last of his bean mush. "What? I'm not a prince." "Right," said Zed. because spinning wheels just go around spiking random members of the public. At Kai's blank face, he pressed the point further. It's kind of a royalty-only deal?
Not in my case, said Kai.
He was starting to remember details of his last moments awake now, which was new. I think Prince Chase was there when it happened, with the spinning wheels. They must have got me by accident. They were definitely going after him.
Royalty only, said Zed, in a sing-song voice.
I mean, I count, 'cause of marriage, not birth, but witch curses don't make mistakes, dude. They're super elitist.
I'm not royal, Kai snapped. I'm a quill.
Zed waggled his eyebrows at him.
Well, hold the front page, baby. You're also a prince.
Kai didn't know what to make of any of this, but he knew he didn't like it. He slept badly, staring at the ceiling of the tower room, watching the dark clouds swirl against the windows. He wondered what Dennis was doing. Did he know Kai was missing? Was he worried? What had happened to Chase? They were surrounded by spinning wheels on that staircase, so why wasn't Prince Chase in here with Kai? He refused to think any further on Zed's assertion that he was a prince. It was too ridiculous for words. He had a feeling the other man was flirting with him, and if so, this was the weirdest attempt at a seduction that Kai had ever seen. The next day, if day and night even meant something here, they took the East Tower. Kai managed to find a sword he could lift on one of the decorative walls in the endless dining room below. Zed gave him a whole 10 minutes of instruction on how to use it, while El just sniffed and said, "Stay out of our way, boy." Everything after that was snakes and yelling and splattered gore in so many colours. The snakes went down easily enough, but there were dozens of them, hundreds maybe, and cutting their heads off didn't prevent them from slithering up the walls and dripping goop on you.
"Do you do this sort of thing all the time?" Kai panted, wiping blue slime from the side of his face. "Like every single day? Or did I just get lucky?"
"Well, it's not snakes every day," Zed considered. He had a wild grin on his face like he was having fun. It was concerning. There was a shout from above, where El was tearing through the snakes like they were butter. "My lady calls," said Zed. He winked at Kai. "Kiss for luck." Kai backed up a step. "I have a boyfriend."
"Too bad," Zed shrugged, not sounding especially disappointed. "If I stay alive long enough, this tower is bound to send me someone single."
He took the stairs at a run, and the sound of fierce snake battle echoed down to Kai, who came up more slowly. By the time he reached El and Zed, they were wiping off their blades and done for the day. "Pick a door," El said, sounding exhausted, but satisfied. "The higher ones are more easily defensible, but honestly, it doesn't matter."
"Ones with furniture are good," said Zed. "I wouldn't mind sleeping in a bed."
"You're still so soft," said El, shaking her head. "It's gonna get you killed."
"Oh, keep up all that caring talk, and I'm gonna have to hug you," Zed teased.
"She sounds mean," he added, turning to Kai, "but she's actually way nicer than my real mother, so..."
"Does one of the rooms have a bath?" Kai asked longingly. The smell of snakes was worse on the inside than the outside.
El rolled her eyes. "Pointless habits," she muttered, and marched up some more stairs. She was covered in at least 6 different colours of snake innard, with several gobs of flesh stuck to her clothes and hair, as well as the bright slime.
"Is she... was that a joke?" Kai whispered.
"Maybe," said Zed, sounding impressed. "It's been quite a day." The room they chose was some kind of bedroom suite, with fancy if flimsy furniture, and a bed wide enough to play rookery on. El and Zed sprawled all over the soft furnishings, not seeming to care about getting snake slime on the fabrics. A little while later, Kai realized why this was so. The muck on his clothes and skin dried and crumbled, powdering away as if it had never been there.
He couldn't even see traces of it in the pale, eggshell-coloured carpet.
"Yeah, I'll admit that bathing is a pointless habit around here," said Zed, from where he was stretched out across the enormous bed. "But don't tell her she's right," he added, in a hoarse, meant-to-be-heard whisper.
Elle sat upright on a chintz sofa, clearly ready to fight again if she had to. "So, you were Kirsten Charming," she said, eyeing Kai warily. "In town for the matchmaking season? Or are you one of the local princes?"
"I asked him that already," volunteered Zed. "He's in denial."
"Why does everyone think I'm a prince?" Kai moaned. "I work at a newspaper. It's a real job. My mother's a governess. I don't..."
That had caught Elle's attention. She leaned forward, her shoulders flexing dangerously.
"When you say governess, do you mean actual governess, or do you mean witch who uses the cover of a governess position to teach magic to children?"
"I don't..." "Wait," said Kai, his mouth hanging open. "Actually, that makes a lot of sense." It was as if he was seeing his childhood through a whole new lens. If his mother was a witch, then she had gone to a great deal of trouble to hide it from him. But he'd always felt like there was some big secret he was missing out on. Could that be it?
"How do you even know that?"
"Because I knew your mother," said Elle, her own mouth tightly pressed in. "I think perhaps our original introduction was incomplete."
"Have we met?" She looked familiar to him, but in that strange sort of way that meant you actually knew someone who looked like the person, not the person themselves.
Elle gave him a sharp, impatient look, which reminded him of Camilla, whenever Kai kept messing up spells that she thought were perfectly standard. "Well, yes," she said. "I'm Queen Ella of Charming." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. If you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Or just tell a friend that you love this podcast and make them listen to it too. My new novella, Girl Reporter, is on sale now. It's so Australian. It uses the word ute, and it's about superheroes and women in journalism. I love it to bits. I'm so excited people can finally read it. So see you next week for more of the tragic shenanigans of Dennis and Kai and all their friends at Castle Charming. See you next week.